The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
What's up, Anthony Smith? Welcome back to the podcast, the Lionheart Incorporated Me podcast. How are you, buddy? You well?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Everything's good over here.
Nice. I am currently in Barcelona, Spain. Every time I do this now, I have a different backdrop. You know, I like to keep the people guessing, but have you ever been to...
Do you have a home?
I have a home that I fucking pay for that I've never, ever get to see. My in-laws are there. The kids are there. Callum's there. He's home from college. Funny how he comes home when I'm not there, the little bastard. But yeah, I have a home and I have a bed that I cannot wait to fucking sleep in, but I never get to see it.
That's too bad. I bet a lot of the believers feel really bad for you. You're in Bulgaria and you're in Barcelona. You were in Paris. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it.
Well, you're being sarcastic. We know this, but it isn't easy, all this fucking traveling around. And it's not being a superstar either. It's being I'm a hardworking guy. I'm giving back to the people. I thought I'd come to Spain and spread a little joy. I tell you what, there's a lot of MMA fans in Spain.
But is there really?
Yeah, there is. This sounds like such a humble brag, but it's not. Everywhere I go, I keep getting invited. Somehow they get my email address or something, or they shoot me a DM, keep inviting me to come down to MMA gyms and give seminars and all the rest of it. It's like, I'm here on a trip with my wife. I'm not popping down the gym and teaching the very, very little, small, limited knowledge that I have. I'm sorry. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to put Rebecca Bisping first. She's in the background over there, rolling her eyes. Say hi, everyone, Rebecca.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you what, the Barcelona's an amazing place. You ever play the game Assassin's Creed?
A little bit, yeah. Not a lot, a little bit.
It's, you know, when you're jumping across the roofs and stuff, that's what it's like. The view out where I have a little balcony attached to the room, and that is exactly what it looks like. Because the streets are like fucking this narrow. You can jump from roof to roof to roof. Haven't done it, you know what I mean? But you never know. Might have a few glasses of wine tonight and start jumping over roofs. What's new with you, buddy? How are you?
I'm good, man. There's not a lot going on here. I'm still recovering. So, you know how it is. Like when you were still competing, like when you can't train and you're in between fights and like, you know, the kids are in school. So we're doing the school thing and running them around like crazy people. But other than that, man, I've just been hanging out, trying to get my house together and got some projects. I'm still working on the podcast studio.
Nice.
So that's going to be done pretty soon.
Lovely. Well, glad to hear it. Of course, we have Mike Harrington. At the helm, putting notes together for us. Once again, he's putting a lot of absolute goddamn nonsense. Do you look at the notes, Anthony, before we start? Let's pull the curtain back.
I do. I go through them. And to be honest, he does a really good job on the MMA-related ones.
Yeah.
But sometimes I get to the non-MMA-related ones. Like, Jesus Christ, I want to know what websites he's looking at.
Yeah, Harrington, come on and explain yourself. What websites? I mean, let me guess. www.shitunusualnointerestednews.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a premium subscription there. So yeah. I like to go there first. That's where I get my email through, actually.
Yeah. Well, you did a stellar job once again. Although I had to not reprimand. I had a very friendly word in his ear. But I did say, Harrington, you know, like when we do a show, if I don't bring up some of those non-MMA stories, that doesn't mean you parlay them into next week's show. It means didn't want to talk about them because they're so dumb. Like even the ones we do talk about, I feel a little bit embarrassed sometimes that this is what we're choosing to talk about. You know, Rogan's got fucking astrophysicists, Elon Musk. Do you know what I mean? You got all these podcasters all trying to copy Joe Rogan's formula. You know, and we're talking about God knows what shit it is. Go on, Harrington, just for shits and giggles, throw one at us.
Dude, you are really just tempting me into making a whole Science Corner segment where I come in with a new science topic every single week and have you guys react to it. We'll get production behind it. It'll be a whole thing.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I'll just not let you on screen.
Yeah. There you go. Do you know, I tell you what did happen to me, though. I was just saying before. I am in Barcelona. Had to go to the airport at 3 o'clock in the morning, which was a goddamn fucking nightmare. Because you got that whole thing, should we stay up? Do you know what I mean? Should we just stay up and power through? And typically, if I was by myself and I'd gone out, had a few beers, stayed up, gone to the airport, a little buzz, and the plan on sleeping on the plane. But obviously, I'm with my wife, and she's like, fuck no. What are you, crazy? We are not doing that. But we got to the airport at 3. Flight was fucking 6 a.m., but they said, because the conditions everywhere at the airports are crazy. Flew via Munich, Germany, going through passport control there. Oh, my God. It was like fucking the Gestapo were inquisiting into my well-being. They want to know where I'm going. I want to see your return flight. What are you doing there? Who do you know? How much money do you have in your bank account? I'm like, what the fuck?
Never you mind. What kind of weird shit is that?
No, I know. And then in the end, I just lied and told her a stupid amount. I said, a lot. Okay. She goes, how much is a lot? I went, well, in my checking account, $10 million. There's not $10 million, but I just thought I'd throw that out there to see what she said. And her and her buddy said something in German and just put me through. So anyway, there you go. So because of that, the point of this story is, and I sound like Luis J. Gomez now, when I used to do the podcast with Luis. Shout out Luis, by the way.
I like Luis.
I'd get a little annoyed because it is an MMA podcast and we do talk about the UFC, you know. And sometimes Lewis wouldn't have seen the fucking UFC. Well, here I am on the Believe in Mob podcast, the number one MMA podcast comedy thing, Bob, in the world. And I didn't see the fights at the weekend. My bad, guys. My bad.
That's our new tagline.
That's why my back hurts probably all the time.
Carrying me?
Carrying Michael Bisping. I gotcha.
Oh, don't get me started on bad backs. I sound like an old man, but my back is fucked. But still, no, I did look at the results, obviously. I did see that Song Yadong was stopped by a vicious cut in, I believe it was the fourth round. But talk through the fight. Yeah. I'm very intrigued to know your perspective and your thoughts on it. How did Sandhagen look?
Sandhagen looked really good, but I was actually a little bit more impressed with Song Yadong. I thought Sandhagen would, I don't know, just kind of be the veteran that he is. He's hard to hit. He just makes things real fucking difficult. And I thought he was going to handle Song Yadong pretty easily. And it wasn't like that in the first round. I think Song Yadong won the first round for sure. Sandhagen cut him really bad. Just like, you know, one of those like up elbows, those leading up elbows. Like Corey Sandhagen doesn't have enough power to back anybody with crazy pressure that kind of has a chin. Like Song's tough and he'll take a shot and he doesn't really care about getting hit. Song Yadong was just walking him down and Corey didn't have enough power in his kicks and his punches to really back him off, but he started fucking slicing him with elbows and it backed him off a little bit. But I think two of the three judges had it 2-2 going into the fifth and they stopped it at the beginning of the fifth. So it was a really competitive fight. Corey Sandhagen wrestled a lot. I think he probably had like 11 takedown attempts. I think he was 1-for-10 or something like that. But you know how it is with takedowns. Like as long as you got the gas to keep doing it, a failed takedown is not necessarily always a failure. Song was getting huge reactions every time Corey would level change. I mean, he was sprawling all the way to his hips. So, but as the fight went on, I think Sandhagen kind of took over and got better as it went. It was a really good goddamn fight though. But I was impressed with Song, especially for as bad as that cut was. The doctor wanted to stop it in the third and Herb kind of pushed him off. And then he wanted to stop it again in the fourth and Herb pushed him off again. But Corey Sandhagen got a takedown at the end of the fourth and all that blood was bleeding right into Song's face. And Corey was kind of grinding on that cut. And there was at that point, there was no.
A la Luke Rockhold and Paolo Costa, you might say.
Yeah. Yeah. It was bloody. It was pretty gross. But I think after that, there was really no choice. It was a pretty nasty cut and it was getting bigger every round.
Yeah. Well, that is impressive for Song Yadong, as you say, you know, because Sandhagen is so technical, you know, I mean, he's one of the more well-rounded. He's a very, very complete fighter, isn't he? You know what I mean?
He
get it done everywhere. He's got a very, very cerebral approach. So for Song to test him like that is impressive. Although Song Yadong has a lot of good wins. You know, he's got big knockout power, got a win over Chito Vera, which Yeah, okay, call me biased if you will, but I thought that Cheeto should have got that one back at Jacksonville when you fought Glover. Was it the same night or one of the same nights?
We're bringing up old shit. Okay.
Whoa. You did fight on that night, didn't you?
I bring it up all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Glover.
No, me too. Songye Dong doesn't really get the credit that he deserves. You know, it kind of flies under the radar a little bit in terms of star power.
Do you think it's the English speaking thing? Do you think it's because he doesn't speak English, so it doesn't resonate maybe with the American fans as much? Because his style is incredible. Mm. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, it has to be. It has. Who was it recently? We were saying he learned how to speak English. And who was it? He's a fucking tremendous fighter. And he started saying a few words of English. Who was it? That's driving me mad. Anyway, it'll come back to me. But yeah, you're right. It's like Anderson Silva back in the day. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he was, you know, he's Brazilian. Speaks,
I think,
Portuguese.
Figueiredo's the same way.
Figueiredo, that's right. Well, look at Canelo. When Canelo started talking a little bit of English at the post-fight press conference, get the fuck out of here. I don't know if you saw that. I forget who it was that came in and stormed the press conference and he was telling him to fuck off. Automatically, rightly or wrongly, you could just kind of relate to that person a little bit more. You're like, oh, shit. I don't know why that is. Because obviously when they're speaking, they're still speaking a language. We're the ignorant ones that don't understand it. But as soon as they start talking our lingo, we're like, shit, okay.
And it's like, just, I like this guy.
Yeah. you mastered the English tongue. God bless you. God bless you. So what do you think's next for Sandhagen then?
Man, he called out Marab and he called out
Cheeto.
I think the Cheeto fight is the Marab fight is an easier fight. Cheeto, he just has a terrible match. He has a terrible style for guys that want to fight pretty and clean. And Sandhagen, he does have a little bit of a dog in him, and he can grind and he can throw down. But I think he's at his best when he's super technical. He's fighting clean. He's on the outside. And Cheeto he's like a bigger, kind of nastier version of Songye Dong. Not quite as technical, but he's got a very similar style. Lots of pressure, crazy leg kicks, incredible gas tank, good grappling. I think he's a better grappler than Songye Dong, so he's got more of a danger on the mat. I don't know if Sandhagen would feel so free to shoot takedowns like that. Mm. So I like the Cheeto matchup. I think that's probably the more exciting one. Nothing against Marab. I like Marab a lot, but he doesn't have the most fan appealing style. But I think Cheeto's the tougher fight.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I probably agree. Although Marab, with the wrestling pedigree that it has, you can never count him out. And again, it sounds like I'm riding the penis of Cheeto Vera here, but I'm not. But apparently, he already accepted that fight on Twitter, which I've got to say is so impressive because Cheeto just knocked out Dominic Cruz, a legend, probably the greatest resume in the bantamweight division. No one stopped him the way that Cheeto did. And so you would think that he could sit there, you know, like some fighters do and say, no, I'm not fighting until I get a title fight and all that type of stuff, which the UFC absolutely hate when you do that. But he could say, no, I want only a top contender, which of course Sandhagen is. But you got to think, he's right there for a title fight and he's willing to go straight away on Twitter. Yeah, fuck it. Let's go. You know what I mean? That's why I have so much respect for that guy.
But against a guy like Sandhagen, who's just, that can't be fun. Like, there's nothing fun about Sandhagen. You know, they were talking on the broadcast about, remember that, like, montage of faces that the UFC put together of what people look like before they fought Tony Ferguson and then after? That's kind of how they were talking about. That's kind of the direction that Corey Sandhagen is getting. Like, because he doesn't have the power to really just stone cold knock people out, and that's not really his style. I'm sure he's a grown-ass man. If he wanted to really rip, I'm sure he could, but that's not his style. So he's kind of added in the knees and the elbows, and people just look terrible after they fight him. I mean, look at Dillashaw and then now Songye Dong. That's two really crazy, crazy good guys, and both of them look fucking awful afterwards.
No, Sandhagen is legit. He's the real deal.
I got a question. I thought about this. I actually watched the fight again just a little bit ago sitting in the garage, but
you always make me nervous when you say, I got a question. It's like, I
do this to you all the time because I've never been a UFC champion. So I don't have the perspective that you have.
Yet.
Not yet. Not yet. But there's some guys out there that guys like Chimaev, perfect example. Like, you just know that guy's going to be a champion at some point in time. Mm. It's just a matter of time. And then there's some people that have, they have the skills and abilities to be champions. They have, you know, championship mindsets, championship work ethic. But it seems like sometimes shit just falls the wrong way and it just takes longer. And I think you're one of those guys where you were always good enough to be the champion. It's just some guy, I don't know. Some people just get all the luck, if that makes sense. Like, some things just fall their way. And I feel like I'm one of those guys where I know that I'm good enough to be the champion. It's just up to this point, I just haven't had a string of really good luck or really good circumstances. I feel like Sandhagen is kind of that type of a guy where, like, he could be a champion at any point in time. It's just thing, you know, he had a really close fight with Dillashaw, and he had the same situation with Petr Yan, where he looked really good at the beginning and then kind of fell off at the end. Did you know that during your career? Like, did you feel like, fuck, I'm good enough to be there, and just it's shit's not always working out my way, or like I kind of get fucked around every corner? Or were you always like, fuck, am I gonna win one? Or like what did that feel like?
Yeah, no, that's an interesting question. And I guess, you know, it kind of resonates to a lot of people on different levels in life, you know, and not just through fighting. If you believe in yourself and you know the work that you're putting in, that gives you confidence, you know, and you see the results in the gym. I knew what I was capable of. I knew I was good enough to do that. I knew I could compete with the best. Yeah, I had some losses. I had a couple of bad knockouts as well along the way, but I had some fights like the Chael Sonnen one, who went on to fight for the belt on two occasions. You know, I knew I was good enough to compete, but it's not bad luck. You can't say that. It wasn't a string of bad luck. I had some, I lost some fights, you know, but you just got to stay the course and regroup and not give up on yourself, you know, because but when you put the hard work in and your coaches are confident in you and everyone's around you and you're sparring top people and you're always bringing in new training partners, you're like, shit, I know I can do this. I know, but you've just got to never give up. Simple as that. Do you know what I mean? And if you're young enough, and to be fair, I was getting better along the way anyway. Like I said, yeah, I lost that fight to Chael Sonnen. And had I have won, I'd have fought for the belt. But I'll be honest, I reckon I would have lost to Anderson then anyway. And don't all start, oh yeah, because he hadn't snapped his leg yet then. No, what I mean is mentally, I wasn't where I was when I did become the champion. Do you know what I mean? Because the mental side of things controls so much of it. And I sound like a broken record when I say that, because I do talk about that a lot. But I was too emotional back then. And throughout time and working with Jason Perillo more and more and more, yeah, you never give up. That'll be you, Anthony. You'll get there. You know, you still got fucking plenty of time. I hate the fact how young you are, because you've been around so long. You know what I mean? It feels like you're about my age, probably more mature as well. But, you know, quitters never win, as a wise man once said, Anthony. Who said that?
Quitters, no, I don't know. Who said that?
Bro, you don't know that? The famous line, quitters never win?
Well, I've heard it.
You've never read the Sunday Times bestseller autobiography by Michael, the Count Bisping?
Do I look like a guy that reads, number one? Number two, I've asked you to send me a book like 100 times. You're like, oh, everybody wants a book, and I'm out of books. And
books don't fall out of the sky. Okay, before, all right, fair enough. The paper falls out of trees. We get the paper, we write on them. I will get you a book, Anthony. Okay. I will get you a book. I'll get you a book.
So I brought that question up because Corey Sandhagen said something really interesting, that everyone was kind of sounding the alarm on, everyone's kind of panicking on Corey Sandhagen, like, oh, well, maybe he's done, which is so crazy to me that they do that to someone so young and so good. But he said, I don't really give a fuck about my last two fights. Yeah, they were losses, but they were the two best guys in the world. One was on short notice versus TJ Dillashaw, and the other one to the, you know, the second best bantamweight in the world. Like, it was weird to me that he was completely unbothered. When I lose, I'm a ticking fucking time bomb. Like, it just, it eats me up and drives me crazy. And like, I'll see that person and just, like, a lot of times I just want to fight him right there. Not because I have anything against him, because I hate losing way more than I like winning.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was an interesting mindset. And he just kind of went on to say, like, listen, I'll win. I'll get it. Like, I'll win the title eventually. Like, I'm unbothered by how long it's going to take and how many more fights and when's the title fight. He's like, I'll get there eventually. Like, I know that I'm good enough to, I just thought it was an interesting mindset.
That was kind of how I was, to be honest, you know, because he's doing the right thing, because you got to try and stay confident. You got to try and take the positives out of every situation. You know what I mean? And he went there against Dillashaw. He lost. Had he have won, he'd be fighting for the belt on Fight Island now.
Well, I thought he won that fight.
Well, it was one of those. It's debatable, yeah. Isn't it? It's back and forth. Mm-hmm. You know, you can make a case either way. But beating yourself up, focusing on the negative of it, it's just going to eat you up inside. Do you know what I mean? It's going to drive you crazy at night, you know, and you're going to start feeling sorry for yourself and develop a victim complex. You just got to look at the positives and go, well, the guy that's fighting for the belt, I pushed him right to his fucking limit. And a lot of people thought that I won. So there you go. That tells me everything I need to know. Yeah, I thought the judges fucked up. Yeah, I lost some money. But in the wider community, I didn't lose any respect. I'm still right there, you know, and that's how anytime I had a loss, that was kind of the approach that I took. Yeah, of course, immediately you're pissed off because, as I say, the financial ramifications are an issue. You know what I mean? You do lose money, but you've got your sights set on the bigger picture. You know what I mean? Like, you're not doing this to make paychecks. You know, you want to do that. You want to provide for your family, but you want to be champion of the world. You want to create a legacy. You want to go down in history as a fucking UFC world champion. And I'm sure you'll get there. Do you know what I mean? But do you truly believe, Anthony?
Yeah. Yeah, I think similar to what you said, like, I pushed Glover to his absolute fucking limits and he went
there you go.
And maybe, you know, the end of it didn't look like that, but the first three rounds were some of the tougher rounds Glover's had in a long time. Mm-hmm. And he went on to win a title. I feel like I was right there with Uncle Iaf, and everyone claims he's the next coming of Jesus in the light heavyweight division. And I feel like that fight was very close and I feel good about it. And so I'm trying to have that similar mindset to Sandhagen, like,
yeah,
I'll fucking get there. Like, yeah. I'll get it. I don't have any doubt in my mind that eventually I'll have that belt around my waist. But I did take a little bit from him, though, of like, you know what? He's fucking right. Like, I'll get there eventually. We'll get one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, because you are right there. And not just you, Sandhagen, those kind of mm-hmm. fighters. It's hard enough to get into the top 15 these days because the UFC has such a packed roster, let alone the top 10. Top five, fighting the best guys that go on to become champions. If you're there, you're competing, you're just a couple of tiny little tweaks away from being mm-hmm. the man. You know what I mean? Let me ask you this, though, mentioning Glover. Obviously, he lost to Yuri Prochazka. We talked about this in one of the episodes that I did with Harrington. They're running that fight back, aren't they? I think that's going to be happening in Vegas. Yuri versus Glover. What is your thoughts on that rematch being made?
You know, I think Glover deserves it for sure. I'm happy to see that. Even if I would have won my fight versus Uncle Iaf, I still would have been happy to see Glover get a rematch. It kind of sucks because he's kind of showed his hand. You know, like, there's a lot of Glover that you can't really study for. Like, you can't watch him fight. You can't train for it. There's a lot of subtleties and approaches and little tiny little things that he does that you can't see on film, and you can't understand how strong that guy is until you feel it. You can't understand how he moves when you're in the grappling exchanges until you feel it. I watched him fight 100 times and thought I had it down, and then when I get in there, it's different. It's a little bit different. So it's unfortunate for him that he's got to go back and try to get it a second time, because now there's no more surprises. And I think that's a lot of what to be fair, when I was giving my analysis work in the desk on that fight, I never brought that up because I didn't want to show his hand, because I don't think that's fair. It's one thing to talk about the X's and the O's, what he does well, what he does. I can say he's strong. I can say he's got good grappling, but I didn't think it was fair for me to pull the curtain back that far and I don't know, like, take his element of surprise away, because I think that's one of his biggest attributes,
yeah,
is that you don't understand it until you're in there. So now going back and doing it again, there's no more surprises. Yuri's felt it. He's seen it. He knows exactly what he's getting himself into. He's younger and not as damaged. So I think he's got more of an ability to make adjustments in this short amount of time.
He's got more ability to improve, because Yuri is one of those guys. He's so wild and exciting, and that's why we love him. And that's why he wins, because he is exciting. He's unpredictable. He's got a very unique style, you know, but he's also very raw in a lot of areas. And I say that with respect. I'm talking about, you know, he's just, his style's a little off, but that's probably what gives him a lot of success as well. I love watching him fight. I'm a fan of him. I'm a fan of the way he handles himself. You know, as I say, he's an individual, you know, in a sport not full of copycats, But there's a formula, isn't there, to mixed martial arts? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Everyone knows what it is now. You've got to cross train a certain way, and they all try, and not everybody, but, you know, everyone's trying to go down a certain marketing aspect. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of people trying to, like, be the next Conor McGregor, et cetera, you know. Yuri is just being Yuri fucking Prohaska. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I find that very, very refreshing. What isn't refreshing sometimes is Mike Harrington. Harrington, come on then. Take your best stab. Throw something at us.
Okay. Real simple one. Feel like this is right in your wheelhouse. Rate the jujitsu on this Chick-fil-A employee who stopped a carjacker.
Hold on. Before we play, I did see this on Twitter. I actually shared it. So Harrington, just give the full background. Never mind the rating of jujitsu. So somebody tried to carjack this lady while she was holding a baby in her hands, correct?
Yes, sir.
A baby.
Yeah. So this Chick-fil-A employee comes out and does what needs to be done.
At the most religious chicken sandwich establishment on planet Earth. I can't get a Chick-fil-A on a Sunday. DoorDash, Chick-fil-A, 15 minutes to my house. Gives me a little bit of a guilty pleasure. I'm like, fuck it, I'm starving. Let's get a spicy chicken sandwich. Sometimes I want one on a Sunday and I can't get it. Okay. I'm not happy. So this guy chooses to go down to Chick-fil-A and steal a car. But what were the details? Did he try and grab her and throw her out the car, or did he try and take the car while she's in it? That's the only bit I was missing.
I did not see that part. I've looked for follow-ups on this, and I haven't found any. But I just have that this woman was attempting, you know, there was an attempted carjacking on this woman, as you said, holding a newborn. And Brian, if you want to play that video.
Yeah, what a piece of shit. Let's
start with that. Let's go with that guillotine. Jesus.
Yeah, I'm struggling to know which one's which.
I think the one with the, like, the green vest is the employee, right?
I would say so.
Yeah, from what I understand, those are the guys who stand out and get, like, people's order on the drive-through line. So that's why he was outside of the restaurant already, because Chick-fil-A, best ordering system on the planet. They get you in and out real quick. So this guy's already out there, sees a carjacking in progress, and, you know, goes full Kevin.
Yeah, Hamilton. But this is the thing. You started this. You gave no background to the believers. You just assumed that everyone had seen it. You asked us to break down the jujitsu. You can't see anything. And I'm not blaming the woman or the guy that filmed the footage. You know, it's a live situation, you know. But we saw an attempted guillotine. What are you, Anthony? Break it down for us, buddy. Break us down on a scale of 1 to 10, the jujitsu, the prowess. What did you see?
I seen
weaknesses.
If I was a person that was going to be involved in a carjacking, I probably would carjack a lady with a baby. Thinking, now listen, I'm not going to, like, beat her up or anything.
I like your logic. Easy.
She's not going to probably fight you. Like, you're going to say, hey, listen, I look like a crazy crackhead. You're a lady with a baby and you're driving a pretty nice lifted gray Jeep. I'm going to take that shit. You get out of here. And there's
give me
there's
a sandwich,
no problem,
by the way.
Yeah, and leave your food in the fucking passenger seat. So I get the logic. Probably not prepared to have, you know, some guy in a green vest come and choke the shit out of you. It was a nice attempt at guillotine. I'll give him that.
Yeah, God bless him. That's the thing these days, isn't it? You know, with MMA being so popular and jiu-jitsu, you never know. You got some little nerd.
Just regular ass people.
He's got his sash on for his Chick-fil-A. He's down there on a Sunday. He's working his way through college, you know. And
Shit. Did you see that thing that Rogan posted?
Which one?
It was a mugshot of a guy, and it said, man fights off 15 cops while jerking off.
Oh,
like,
my
like
God.
Like some meth head.
I did it, but I did see Paddy the Baddy choked out 10 commandos or Marines, one after the other. But I want to see a guy fighting off 15 guys.
I got tagged like probably 1,000 times in that post because people are like, see, those guys aren't that easy to fight off. So I had to comment on there. And
did he beat them off?
He beat them off.
No, that's a classic line. Remember that one from The Ultimate Fighter from Dana.
Yeah.
You want these guys off, you got to beat them off. And then he goes, that didn't sound right.
That's the super crackhead right there.
Is it? That's the guy?
So what did he do?
I think they were trying to arrest him, and he just pulled his dick out and started jerking off while he was fighting him.
What the fuck is the mindset? What is the, that guy's mind? He's like, okay, don't come near me. I'm going to ejaculate on it. Okay. But like, but what are you thinking? The cops are arresting you and you think, I know how to handle this situation. Give me a second. I'm just gonna zip, unzip, get your cock out, and then start going to work. Wow.
And it still took a whole shit ton of cops to get him down.
God,
these crackheads are like superheroes. They're tough. And I think I commented on there and said, and people give me shit because I wrecked the crackhead that came to my house, and people give me shit because I say he was kind of tough.
Yeah. Well,
this guy fights 10 cops with his wiener in his hand.
Superhuman strength when you're on certain pharmaceuticals. You know what I mean? Like crack, yeah. I mean, I've never done crack or anything like that in my life, but I can only imagine that you do. You're redlining like a motherfucker. So, all right, but it's impressive that he could still get an erection.
Well, if we're breaking down strange street fight things, I have something to show you guys.
Okay. Well, we got to be careful with what Brian. Oh, I saw this.
Oh yeah. Пионы призёры начинается месиво какое-то. Кулачная работа мощная. Look at the ref on the outside. You're doing a lot.
Yeah. What is he doing? I mean, what was the ref even looking for? Oh.
I would do this.
Stop it. That's it. That's all he can do to stop it. Brings in arm.
Took his arm.
I mean, come on. Look, listen, we were saying we love a bit of slap boxing and whatnot, and the Russians do the bloody, what is it? What was that one we saw? 50 on 50 or 100 on 100? I mean, yeah. Oh, God. The Russians, man. Fuck me. They are out of their goddamn minds.
I would the phone booth shit.
Would you?
Oh, yeah. I got I got like a real good single tie clinch. And I'm just pull them in and just rip uppercuts.
Yeah.
I'd probably get beat up.
I don't know. I mean, do you want to lower yourself to that, Anthony? You know, here you are. You're on the cusp of being a light heavyweight world champion. You're right there. We've been through this. I've given you the pep talk. And now you're saying you're going to sign up and do fucking...
No, I'm just saying I would.
Full moon fighting.
I would. You wouldn't? Fair enough.
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
I'm retired. I'm trying to fight Jake Paul. I'm trying to fight anyone. Do you know what I mean? I'm broke. I'm doing a podcast in Barcelona, baby. Do you know what I mean? I need anything I can get. Do you know
I tried to ride a bull this weekend.
With a broken leg?
Yeah, they wouldn't let me. I tried, though.
I'm going to say maybe not the smartest thing.
I tried. It was in my hometown. It's this little hometown bull riding event that they have every year. And they
in your hometown. What can go wrong?
Right. They have this celebrity bull riding thing. I mean, they had like public figures and the, you know, women doing it. Like, I can ride this goddamn bull. This is how stupid I am. I've never ridden a bull in my whole life. I've never, not once, never even sat on one. Never.
I've never ridden a bull either. However, I have seen, and I'm sure you have, being American, whilst I've lived in America, I've seen the rodeo many, many times. And I see people, professional bull riders, get thrown, launched into fresh air, great heights, looks very dangerous. May I add in the fact that you are recovering from a snapped leg?
Yeah, but you don't have to land on your feet. Most of those people land on their flat backs or asses anyways. So my plan was, I'll just jump on this bull, and I'll just make sure that after I give this bull the roughest fucking 8 seconds it's ever had, then when I get thrown off, I'll just land on my butt or something. But this is why I'm so stupid. I've never been on a bull, never ridden one, never sat on one. I'm not even sure I've ever touched one.
Which, by the way, I find very surprising for a man that has a herd of cattle that you routinely kill and slaughter and eat and camels.
Yeah,
and
I'm talking like
you've never
riding
touched
bulls.
A bull.
Like not bucking bulls, never. I mean, I've been to lots of rodeos, but never. I don't know why. That is weird. But
a bucking bronco, or is that a horse?
That's a horse. That's a horse. Yeah.
Sorry.
I sat and I watched this whole bull riding.
Hold on. Brian's trying to get in with
I was just trying to let you know, I've seen somebody fucking, I went to a rodeo when I was young in Colorado, and I watched a dude get gored, and that was a fully functioning man. So like, I'm just
full. Me at a deficit is more than a regular fully functioning man.
Fair enough.
Thank you, Anthony. I was going to say that. I was going to jump
in. Thank you. Anyways, I judged the fuck out of every goddamn guy that rode these bulls. Like one guy would come out and ride for 5 seconds, get thrown off, and I'd look right at my wife and go, I'd have rode that fucking bull. Look at that pussy. Talks so much shit. You know what a bull would probably do? I probably wouldn't last a solid two count. But I, in my head, I'm a PBR world champion bull rider. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm like this.
That could be your next career.
That's why I can't get into Netflix shows. If I watch Sons of Anarchy, I want to join a motorcycle gang. When I just become whatever I'm around. I hate it.
I'm like that, but in terms of anywhere I go to, I want to move there. Like literally anywhere I go, I want to move there. Like I'm in Bulgaria. I'm like, fucking, I want to move there. I want to live here. I go to certain parts of America, like Greenville, South Carolina, when there was a UFC event there. I was like, wow, this place is amazing. I want to live here. Literally anywhere I go. BYM Motorcycle Club, Brian says.
Yeah.
Someone start the chapter. Talking of chapters, not a good segue at all. There was another cut at the weekend, right? Who was it? Gregory Robocop Rodriguez.
Robocop.
As I say, I didn't see the fights, but I did see Dana White's Instagram post. Brian, if you can bring that up, because in terms of cuts, just zoom in on that cut if you can, please, Brian. Can you zoom? Do we have the technology?
Oh, no.
Oh.
Hold on. Michaela.
Yeah, come Rebecca, look at this. Here. Look at this cut. This has got to be one of the worst. I think Rebecca, that's a tendon. And say hi to Michaela.
Look at this cut over.
Hey, look at that.
Yeah, that's an artery?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Look at that head.
Look at this.
Oh, yeah, no, we saw that. What is that thing, though? What is it?
Michaela says it's an artery.
Oh.
She said if that would have cut, it would have been like that's a fountain coming out of his face.
You know,
an artery, like a major vein.
Yes.
Ugh.
Oh.
Yeah, no. But look at the job they did, though. They cleaned that one nicely.
And he won.
Well, good for him.
And he won.
So
well, yeah. All right, you're on.
That's it. Okay.
That's your lot, babe. Get out of here. Go on, Michaela. Shout out. Do you know
she never wants to come on and say hi.
Rebecca.
She's behind the scenes.
Rebecca likes to get a little 30 seconds of fame. As I'm being honest. She's laughing in the background. She's telling, she's like, I want more than 30 seconds. you know, Robot, he won, right?
Yeah, he did. He almost finished at the end of the first. Like, that cut was, it was a knee. He shot a takedown, and Chidi Njokuani threw a nasty knee, ran right into it.
Sounded like a home run.
Yeah, it was gross. And he didn't even really go down. He kind of stumbled back, and Chidi tried to finish, and Robocop hurt him real bad with a, I think it was a right hand. So he almost finished him at the beginning of the first, came out in the second, Chidi was kind of smoked after that.
Well, Chidi's no joke either. He's got some great striking. He's a powerful guy. Let me ask you, for the rest of the fight, was it predominantly a striking affair? Because that is what always blows my mind with Robocop Rodriguez, Gregory, Robocop, we'll call him, because he has unbelievable jiu-jitsu credentials. He's like multiple time world champion. He's like so good, but he goes out there and fights with his fists. You know what I mean? A lot of grapplers do that, don't they? When they realize how good it feels to crack someone in the face, you know, they kind of abandon their grappling to a certain degree. You never really see him come with a grappling heavy offensive, you know? And yeah, he's a dangerous man.
I think it's a cardio issue, to be honest with you, because sometimes once you get into like MMA wrestling, it's different than the type of wrestling you would use in jiu-jitsu and he's a good jiu-jitsu player from his back too. So I think it's harder sometimes to take people down, especially when they can use defense. And I think that sometimes it's not worth the, because he's so big and muscular, it's a lot of oxygen to kind of fuel all those muscles. If you got the kind of power he's got in his hands, like, it's probably just easier to punch people and take the hard shots. And because he fought Julian Marquez in his last fight.
Yeah.
And Julian is as tough as they come. You know, like, that guy's got an insane chin. He's taken some of the hardest shots I've ever seen. And Robocop just put him down several times. So if you got that kind of power, it's probably just easier just to land big shots. I think once he starts getting into these higher ranked opponents, guys that aren't going to stand in front of him and take those big shots, the more mobile guys, I think we'll probably see him do some more jiu-jitsu and have to dig deep in as well. But until then, I'm enjoying watching it.
It's nice that he has it in his back pocket, in his arsenal. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Just going back to that cut, I think that's one of the worst cuts we've seen in UFC history. Maybe, what do you think the top contenders are? I remember Vitor Belfort did a flying knee on Marvin Eastman years ago. Remember that one? Oh, my God. It was like a vagina on his forehead.
Yeah, you can see his whole skull.
There's that one there. Harrington O'Brien, if you want to just Google worst cuts in UFC history, it'll bring up a list. You know what I mean? Bring up some website. Will have done a list. You might see a YouTube video from Mikey B. But that
Robbie Lawler, that lip one was pretty bad.
Ooh, who's that?
That's Martin Campman, it says.
Martin
in training.
Oh, that's a bad eye on Nick Diaz there. Yeah. That's a really bad one. Chuck Liddell with a black eye. I mean, all right.
It's not too bad.
It's a shit list. Let's go. Oh, Matt Hamill.
Yeah.
From the Tim Boach fight.
Chael Sonnen. That's got to be Nate Marquardt, right?
Yeah. This is just the beginning of the list, Mike. It's going to get progressively worse, I promise.
Well, please. I want it to. Because that's like not that bad. Stefan Struve. There's a nice little gash on the forehead. Good one. Brock Lesnar from Cain Velasquez. Oh, that is a nasty one on the cheek. And what a beatdown that was for Cain Velasquez. He fucking wiped the floor with him, didn't he? Caleb Starnes, Alan Belcher. Yeah, that's bad.
Alan Belcher.
Good old Alan Belcher.
That's a good one.
That is his skull, sirs.
Yes.
Shout out Cub Swanson. What a guy he is. He's been around forever, man. What else we got? Fedor Emelianenko. Quarter shake. I can hardly see these. Abe Wagner.
Oh, Abe Wagner's was real bad. It was on The Ultimate Fighter. Look how deep that one is. Oh shit.
Evan Dunham from the Sean Sherk fight. I mean, these have got to be elbows for sure. Diego Sanchez, BJ Penn fight. BJ Penn was a bad motherfucker, man. Ross Poynton. Go on, Ross. Marios Zaromskis fight. There's a... Oh my God.
I don't know.
There's the one. Marvin Eastman. Oh, yeah, number one.
Yeah, that's got to be the worst one. That one's a bad one.
Hell's bells. Someone's at the door, Rebecca. Hell's if it's the manager, bells. Tell him to go away. All right, what else? Harrington, throw something at us. In fact, we've got some MMA news. Let's go through some of these topics, Harrington. Go on. Throw some stuff at us. The breaking news, the hot topics, the MMA stories that everybody wants us to cover.
I mean, I think the biggest takeaway from the weekend, at least for me, is the retirement of an absolute legend in the sport, Jose Aldo.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Harrington. What are your thoughts, Harrington?
I was going to give you the details as far as I have them and then get off the screen. Jose is he's retired from MMA. He negotiated a deal where he is out of his UFC contract, so he's free to go and do whatever he'd like outside of the sport. But as of right now, he is 100% done with the sport of MMA.
Yeah. Well, look, listen. I mean, it's sad, isn't it? Because Jose Aldo has just been such a mainstay of top-level mixed martial arts. For as long as I can remember, you know, obviously started with the WEC. I think it was like 2007 or 8 when they crossed over, when the UFC purchased it and he became the bantamweight champ, defended the belt. What? I think it was 6 or 7 times. That's obviously ran into Conor McGregor, fought Max Holloway twice for the featherweight belt again, lost, went down to 35, looked like he was trending towards a title fight there. Beat Marlon Vera, you know, had some big wins, but of course, last couple didn't go his way. I mean, what an absolute legend Jose Aldo is.
Yeah, he's just some of the most memorable moments as an MMA fan. Go back to, like, I remember watching the Faber fight live and him just brutalizing his leg. And I've been a fan of him ever since then. I do wonder why they released him from his contract, though, if he's going to be retired. That gives me a little bit of pause, because I don't want to see Jose Aldo go and I don't want to say tarnish his legacy, because he's still very, very good, but it would be weird to see him walk to any ring or cage not as a UFC fighter. You know what I mean? I think that would feel weird, and I don't want to see him used to build stars or build other organizations. And listen, I'm not against anybody making money. He could probably go get big old fat checks anywhere else he wants. And if that's what he wants to do, power to him, and I'll support him. But I don't know. I don't want to see him flat backed, unconscious in another organization. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Nobody does. Oh, there's his resume. Jose Aldo credentials, 7 title defenses, 2,037 days as champion, 18 wins, 11 finishes. Yeah, listen, obviously, I 100% agree with you. But I think what he's going to do is go off and box. You know, he's been training a lot with the Navy, I think, the Brazilian Navy, mm-hmm. and the boxing team there. So he's been improving the hands. As you say, his signature weapon or weapons were his kicks way back in the day. Obviously, well-rounded, great jiu-jitsu, all that stuff. But he used to chop people up with those leg kicks, man. I mean, what he did to Chad Mendes, Uriah Faber, and a whole host of others. I mean, they were deadly. But over the years, he's kind of moved away from that. And then you see him against Marab. You know, he was kind of controlled and out-wrestled and clinched a lot, you know. And whilst he's still young enough, you know, the amount of years he was with the UFC, what he gave to the promotion, what he did to help raise the profile of the sport in Brazil, you know, I think it's a really solid move that they let him go with his contract. And I think we might see him box. And I'd be very interested to see him box, you know, because his fans are fucking lightning. I mean, the body shots that he has, the precision of the shots, all the rest of it. And I don't think he's a guy, I'm just trying to think. I mean, when he took those two bad beatdowns off Max Holloway, it was like, oh, all his best days behind him. But then he did regroup. He did come back at bantamweight and look better than ever. So it's not like, yeah, of course, Conor knocked him out in one punch, 12 or 13 seconds. But it's not like he was getting knocked out all the time. Do you know what I mean? No. He's just not the Jose Aldo that he used to be in terms of mixed martial arts. I think in boxing, he's not going to go off and have a long career or a long run, but he might have 2 or 3 fights. Tick that box, because he spoke about that for many, many years, you know. So
before it was cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was talking about that way before it was cool to do it.
That's a good point as well. Not just like jumping on the bandwagon, all these Johnny come lately. So I want to go box and stuff. So God bless him. God bless him. What an absolute legend. All right, let's just talk about Manscaped real quick. And first of all, we have got an incredible offer for you. You know the deal. Manscaped is the best tool that you can buy for below-the-waist grooming. But if you go to manscaped.com, you use the code BISPING20, you're going to get 20% off and free shipping when you use that code. Now, right now, they are pimping out the Performance Package 4.0. Of course, you get the Manscaped, the 4.0 trimmer. It's got the battery life. It's got the waterproof. It's got the light. It's got all that stuff, and it's going to take care of your downstairs area without nipping or cutting yourself, okay? No injuries required, but you also get the weed whacker that's going to take care of all those nose and ear hair so you don't look ancient. You get the crop preserver ball deodorant. You get the crop reviver toner. You get the performance boxer briefs and a travel bag to hold your goodies in. Also, there's the Shear 2.0 kit, stainless steel nail cutters, tweezers, grooming scissors. Listen, everything you need to take care of your feet. If you take yourself seriously, if you're a clean-cut gentleman, if you want to be clean-cut, you just want to be clean and hygienic, you got to go to manscaped.com. Use that code BISPING20. You're going to get a massive 20% off and free shipping. Speaking of legends, we've got a legend in the making in Paddy the Baddy, Paddy Pimblett. Did you see the video of him choking out all those Marines, Special Forces guys?
No.
Well, check this out, because Brian has it right there, because Harrington stuck it in the notes. I was filming the other day, and there's a one of the ladies on the cast, Katrina. She's obsessed with martial arts. And she goes, look at this. Look at this. And I was like, she goes, oh, Paddy choking out a bunch of army dudes. And I was like, let's have a look. And then, hey, it's pretty fucking good, to be fair. Harrington, Brian, press play. We're filling.
What number is that? I can't find it on the...
No, oh, sorry. No, Harrington put it in the little side chat bar.
Wow.
Harrington's listen, trying to throw you. It's all right, Brian. Don't.
If I was ever going to give Brian shit, it would have been right now. But for some reason, I can just abuse Harrington. And I like Harrington. I love Harrington, but I do like abusing him emotionally. But for some reason, I just couldn't bring myself to do it to Brian. I don't know why.
Brian gets away with a lot. He gets away with a lot. Do you know, Harrington gets away with nothing.
Nothing. But we blame him for shit that's our fault.
Yeah. Stuff that's our fault. Exactly. I mean, it goes on and on and on. We're not going to watch the whole thing. It's several minutes long and it'll make for very boring podcasting from us. Great work from Paddy, though. Do you ever do seminars, Anthony? Because the where I'm going with this, I used to do a few seminars here and there. It's been a while. But like the party piece at the end was that you roll with everyone in the room and hopefully tap them all out one by one. You always get some like sandbagger that waits to the end who turns out that he's really good. You know, he gives you a run for your money for a few minutes. But I've trained with some special forces guys. Of course, they're very, very tough. You know, you stick a weapon in their hand, they're next level. But in terms of grappling, it's not a surprise that they're not on the level of a hot UFC prospect. But even still, you know, I mean, well done, Paddy, there, and tremendous work.
Yeah, I've done a few. I haven't done one in a while. And I'm not the guy to train beginners. It's just not my... I think later on in my career, maybe later on in life, once I'm retired and I got more time, and maybe I would. I really like helping and teaching guys that are already good. And then you just start tweaking their game a little bit. You start adding small little wrinkles to it, and it makes a huge difference. But my coaches, my jiu-jitsu, I think I've said this before, my jiu-jitsu coach has asked me a couple of times, like, hey, why don't you come in and just come teach the white belt class? I think they'd really appreciate it. Like, fuck you. Not a chance. I'm not doing it.
It's the most painful thing. It's the most, listen, no disrespect. It's so painful. And when you're coaching like complete beginners, and you've got to tell them the most obvious things. Of course, you know, I mean, listen, everyone's going to start somewhere. I don't really do seminars, but I remember years ago, I think it was down in New Orleans or somewhere near there anyway. I did a seminar with Hegan Machado, right? And Hegan Machado's showing, you know, like the really finer details of how to really sink in a triangle choke. Very, very high level stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, we all know how to do a triangle, but he was like showing that the real tiny little secrets, the little adjustments that if you've got it locked in but they're not tapping, here's what you need to do. Create that angle, adjust your feet, pull on the head a certain way. Blah, 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 blah. I went on. I'm like, shit, how do I follow this? You know what I mean? Hegan Machado's a legend in jiu-jitsu. I can barely do an armbar. So I showed some stuff like getting back to your feet, but then I'm like, come on, let's all roll. And I think I told this story a while ago, but I'm going through everyone, rolling with them one by one. And there's this guy, and I thought he was pretty fucking good. And he's laid on his back, and he's doing the whole open guard thing. His legs are in the air. I'm standing up. So I put my hand on his toe, and you do the rolling toe hold. You know the one I mean, where you kind of trap your legs with your legs. I do the rolling toe hold, but I want to make him tap. So I go, and I put it on, and his ankle just goes fucking mangled about 50 times, and I was like,
oh no,
oh, I am so sorry. Like, and he's like, oh, it's fine. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's not going to be fine in the morning. I am so sorry. I didn't realize you had ankles made of glass. Do you know what I mean? Oh god, I felt like such a fucking asshole. I really did. That's why I don't really do seminars anymore. I don't want to get sued again.
No. again.
What else do we have, Harrington, in the notes? Strickland versus Sean Cannonier. Oh, great fight, by the way. But Arnold Allen versus Calvin Kattar. That's a good one.
That's a banger.
October 29th. I'll be calling that one. I'll be back.
Me too.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
In Las Vegas at the Apex. I'll see you there, buddy. Apex. That's my first one back from my travels. I'll still be jet lagged probably. Yes. Huge opportunity for Arnold Allen. Arnold obviously has been plugging away, kind of, I've said this a few times, a very similar path to Leon Edwards, you know, silently in the background, plugging away, getting the wins, beating high-level opponents, last time out made frighteningly short work of Dan Hooker. You know what I mean? That, you know, Dan's lost a few, but no one's done it like that. All right, granted, Michael Chandler did a good job, but still, you get the point that I'm making.
Right.
So he's right there. Against Calvin Kattar, if he can go out there and get a win over him, then he's got to, I mean, you got to think he's what, at least maybe one more fight away from a title fight.
Yeah, Calvin Kattar's a good, I don't want to say introduction fight because he's been around a while. He's been killing everybody. But that's the one fight I think that, this is the one that where I think he'll start being taken very, very serious by the fans. Because I think that, you know, he's fighting really, really tough people, but it's never on. He's never highlighted. He's never spotlighted. I think this is the one, a main event, Calvin Kattar in Vegas at the Apex. All the eyes and
main event
main event. It's huge. So I think this is the one, this is the push he needs. So it's a huge opportunity, and he's got to do something with it, because Calvin Kattar is no easy fight.
No, far from it. And it is, it's a, I'm going to say a litmus test as to, all right, can you really hang? And I think he can. I mean,
well, are you good or are you elite? Because now we're going to find out.
There you go. That's a really good way of putting it, because we know he's good. But are you one of the best? Calvin Kattar is. All right, he hasn't been a champion, but he's been in there with the likes of Max Holloway and the best people in the world. If you can get a win over him, that puts you in a certain club. And again, we've talked about this, that kind of, you go back to that gatekeeper conversation. And you could say in that regard that Calvin Kattar is a gatekeeper to the elite, you know? And I think we were having that conversation, right? That gatekeeper has this negative connotation to it, that it's almost an insult, but it's not. It means if you can beat me, you're in with the big boys. You're in with the true elite to fight for the belt. And yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. Are you good or are you elite? Yeah. And on that, Anthony fucking dropped.
I thought you were waiting on Harrington to jump in.
No, dude,
I agree. I agree. It's
my drop.
If you can't beat Calvin Kattar, then you can't beat anybody above him. And that's just, I think that those guys are very, very close. I think those rankings are very, very correct. I think any of them in the kind of the top five can beat each other on any given day. It's just how the weight class is right now.
Yeah.
But if you can't beat a guy like Calvin Kattar, then you don't belong to, you shouldn't be able to climb any higher, if that makes any sense. And I think if Calvin heard that, he might think that we're talking badly about him, but I don't want him to.
If you can't beat Calvin Kattar, then you suck.
Well, I think he's, if you take, I don't even know exactly where everyone's ranked individually, and I don't think that it matters, but if you take those top five guys, I think Calvin Kattar is as low as you can get without calling anybody elite. So I think the matchmaking is perfect for him. Like Calvin is just that guy. He's that good. And me and you understand, because we've seen him in person. I think on TV, watching him fight is very, very different than seeing it in person. He's so mean, and he's so methodical, and he does. It's hard to shake him too. I think the Max Holloway fight was a one off. I think he had a really bad night. I think the style matchup just didn't favor him anywhere at all.
And it's Max Holloway.
But then you go in and you see him, you know, versus Giga. That guy is incredible. He's hard to fight. He's so fucking dangerous. And Calvin just was unfazed and unshook the whole time. Like that's. It's hard to explain how elite and high level you have to be that calm, cool, and collected and calculated over 25 minutes versus a guy like Giga. It's fucking hard, and it's super impressive.
I'm just bringing up the UFC featherweight rankings there just to see what the score is. Obviously, Volkanovski's the champ. I don't know if this is current. Holloway 1, Kattar 5. Why is it doing it like that? All right, here we go. Volkanovski 1, Max Holloway, Yair Rodriguez. Of course, Yair Rodriguez is right there. Now I've got to press. It only gives me the top three without clicking on the fucking thing. This is why you need producers. This is why you say, Jamie,
Ortega, bring Emmett, this Kattar.
Ortega, Emick. See, I think that's kind of in my head where I kind of had him. Like with Kattar at 5, like if you can't beat Calvin Kattar, then you don't even belong to get a fight with anybody else.
Yeah, Arnold is also ranked number 5. They're two number 5 ranked fighters.
I love that.
That's hey, high God stakes. Bless. That's I'll high stakes.
What, I'll tell you what, Arnold Allen, he has all the ability of being a champion. He really, really does. Could you imagine the UK taking over, baby? Believe you me, live shows all over, every aisle, every corner of the UK.
We could have 3 UK champions here pretty soon.
Aspinall, Edwards, and...
4 then. I forgot about Aspinall.
Who's the 4th? Till?
Aspinall, Arnold Allen, Leon Edwards, Anthony Smith.
Yeah. Oh, you have just won over anyone that was on the fence with the UK with you have just won them over in a big way. I think that was shameful, to be quite honest. You are kissing too much ass these days. Too much fucking ass. Right, Harrington, I'm going to give you a chance here, buddy. You keep putting this story in the notes. What is this about two brothers who haven't spoken in 30 years?
I just put that in for the first time today. So there is two brothers from Ontario, Canada. One is the incumbent mayor of this small town, right? He was running unimposed. He was going to cruise to an easy victory when his brother, who he hasn't spoken to in over 20 years, said, "That's not how democracy works. The people have to have a choice, me or my brother," and is running for mayor against him.
So he's just come out of the woodwork at the last minute and went, no, and they haven't spoken 30 years. Because if they were buddies, they were friends, then, you know, you can say it's all good spirited and maybe it is in the true sense of democracy. But if they haven't spoken in 30 years, he's saying, fuck you, to his brother. Ooh, nasty.
Do we know why they haven't spoken in 30 years?
Neither one will say it, and I'm waiting to find out. I feel like that's going to turn the election.
Oh,
now I'm committed.
Yeah, right?
Because I just need to know.
Ontario, right?
Ontario.
Yeah, it's okay. A small town in Ontario.
That's what they call an October surprise.
What is an October surprise?
It's a real political fucking bullshit thing where politicians wait till October to drop all their dirt to fuck up the other guy because it's right
I see. Yeah. Anthony, I'm ashamed to ask this because I think I have asked this before, but do you have any brothers?
I do. I have an older brother.
What's his name?
Dennis.
Do you guys have a good relationship?
Yeah. He's old as shit, though. He's old as shit. He's like 50. He's significantly older than me. He's like your age.
That's what I'm saying, you prick. He's only 7 years older than me. Jesus, Anthony. You'll be there one day. Let's see if you still have the energy that I possess then. I don't know where I was going with that. Yeah. So 30 years. Because I have two brothers, Conrad. I haven't spoken to him for a long time. Stephen, I haven't spoken to him for a long time. So shout out to both of them. Hope you're well. I call Conrad all the time. I message him and whatnot. But he doesn't have the best health. So he doesn't really see his phone a lot and stuff like that. And Stephen, you know, we're kind of estranged. But Stephen, shout out, buddy. Hope you're well. My younger brother, Adam, we talk quite frequently. Oh, and my sister, Shireen, just had a new baby at the weekend.
Did you finally see the baby?
I didn't see this baby because she just had it whilst I was here in Barcelona, but I saw the other baby, the other new one, Sophia. They're trying to think of a name. What were the names, Rebecca?
Anthony, I suggested. Anthony seems like a nice name.
Yeah, well, my first choice was Michael. It's a solid name. It's a Christian name. It's biblical. You know, it means he who is godlike, after all. Anthony's okay. Yeah. Anthony.
You don't even believe in God.
I don't know, but if you did, maybe that'll tip you over the balance. I suggest, because one daughter's called Sophia, so they wanted to start with S. Mm-hmm. So I said, Sullivan, what do you think of that?
I don't mind that. Anthony, you could spell Anthony with an S.
The first name, Sullivan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sullivan and Sophia and Sullivan, they're thinking bear. I'm like, no, you can't do that. And I shouldn't say this. Rebecca's shaking her head in the background. I'm like, no. They don't listen to the podcast, but they're still thinking about calling it Bear. I'm like, no, you can't do that. Oh, they're going to do it as well.
They do. There's a neighbor kid. His name is Bear, and he is the coolest little bastard. He runs around with these little cute glasses, and you're like, get over here, Bear. I like it. I think they should go with Bear.
You're making a real decision for that kid if you name him Bear. He needs to either be fucking the toughest, coolest kid on the planet, or he's going to be unfortunate.
Or he's got to bully everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, now think about it. There's Bear Grylls as well. Yeah, so because you know someone called Bear. There's Bear Grylls. He's, you know, Bear Grylls does what Bear Grylls does. This would be Bear Bisping. Actually, Bear, it sounds pretty
that's
good.
That's got a fucking cool ring to it.
Bear Bisping. Whoa,
my vote is Bear. Bear Anthony Bisping.
All right, fuck it. No, I've done a complete 180 on it. I love Bear. And also, that's me covering my back in case they do say Bear. And then they see this podcast and go, Michael, you're a prick. We have to legally change his name now. You know? Oh, my God. Me and my mouth. All right, let's just talk about Element real quick. You know the one. LMNT is the electrolyte drink that you need in your life. Listen, if you're working out, you're trying to stay in shape and all the rest of it, you don't want to take on a bunch of sugary drinks, okay? And when you try and stick to water and stuff like that, A, number one, it gets boring. Secondly, the taste is awful. But B, you're going to lose a lot of those electrolytes, okay? When there's no sugar in there and it's just water or whatever else you're drinking, you're going to miss the electrolytes. That's going to have an effect on your performance. You're going to get headaches, muscle cramps, fatigue. You're not going to be as focused. So you want to get those electrolytes. You want to get that sodium, but you also want to do it without taking on all the crap, all the sugar, all the artificial ingredients, the fake coloring, the gluten, the fillers, all of that bullshit. And that is where Element comes in. Element is number one. Absolutely tastes delicious. In fact, one of my co-stars, yes, I sound like a wanker for saying that, but I was on set the other day, and he won't mind me saying, Philip Winchester. I said, what are you drinking? He says, oh, it's called Element. I went, oh my God, yeah, it's the best. It is the best. He thought so, I thought so. You will think so as well. Give it a try. When you buy any order, you're going to get a free sample pack with any purchase that will give you 8 single serving packets free with any Element order. It's a great way to try all 8 flavors or share Element with a salty friend. So listen, give it a try. You can absolutely love it. It is a science-backed electrolyte ratio. It has 1,000 milligrams of sodium, 200 milligrams of potassium, 60 milligrams of magnesium. As I said, none of the nonsense. Great for following a low-carb, keto, or paleo diet. Give it a try. You're going to love it. All you got to do is go to drinklmnt.com/believe. Drinklmnt.com/believe. You're going to get those 8 sachets absolutely free. It's totally risk-free. If you don't like it, they will give you your money back. No questions asked. You have nothing to lose. Harrington, throw an MMA story at us, buddy. What have you got? Look at the time. He should be there.
Sorry, edge of a seat
waiting.
All of my windows are messed up. I think the biggest story, it's kind of two-parter, right? One, Beneil Dariush has officially been named as the backup fighter for Abu Dhabi in case anything happens to Charles Oliveira or Islam Makhachev can't make weight, whatever the case may be. In addition, Khabib did chime in, and he said that he does not believe that Oliveira is going to make it, but whoever Islam faces, he will defeat and become the best 155er on the planet.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Harrington, actually, because I did want to talk about that. Listen, Khabib's going to go out there and defend his boy. You know what I mean? Of course, you know, Islam is a protege of his, you know, and he's coaching him and he's taking him under his wing and he's mentoring him. So, you know, Khabib's going to say what Khabib says. However, you know, hey, Khabib's a legend. So that's why I'm hesitating and, you know, and he's you know, he's potentially the GOAT. You know, I don't think he is, but he's in conversations for it. So nothing but the highest respect. Khabib did miss weight a few times as well. You know. So like that perch easy that you're on, just this easy tiger. I mean, I love Khabib. I'm not talking shit. I'm a huge fan. Do you know what I mean? But you can't really say too much.
No. And Charles has had his weight issues in the past. And even this last one, I think, was a little funky. It sounds like even a lot of the members or staff members for the UFC thinks that Charles kind of got fucked, you know, enough to where Dana gave him his pay-per-view points and you know, took care of him and still calls him the champion. Dana wouldn't do that if he believed that he was truly overweight. That aside, even with the weight-cutting stuff, I don't care what anybody says. Makes weight, doesn't make weight. You are not the best or can become the best 155-pounder on the planet unless you beat Charles Oliveira. I don't care what anybody says. So if Charles gets hurt and it's Beneil Dariush and he wins, you still can't call yourself the best 155-pounder out there until you beat Charles Oliveira. And that's just simple facts.
No, 100%. He is the champ, even though he doesn't have the belt. We've talked about this a million times, so we won't go through it again. But it's just incredible what he has became. You know, what he has become since going up to 155. It's wild. And I'm retreading old ground. We've all said this. We've all said it a million times, but he's so exciting. And he is the champ, you know, regardless. What do you think? How do you think that fight plays out? Because I do believe that Islam is, I mean, it's going to show just how good is Islam Makhachev. I believe he's going to give him a really, really hard fight. Number one, Islam's huge for the weight class. I'm intrigued to see how the grappling styles of each other fare against one another because we know Charles is the man, but Islam relies on that so heavily as well. I think Islam's the stronger guy, probably the better wrestler. I think Charles is the better striker. How do you think it will play out? Typically two guys like this, they fight on the feet. I don't know if it will.
Yeah, I think it's going to be grappling heavy early, but I know that Khabib and Islam are very smart. And I don't think that they're going to spend too much time trying to shove a square peg through a round hole. I think that playing for 25 minutes on the ground with Charles Oliveira, I don't care how good you are. Unless he gasses, which he doesn't do, unless you can get him to break or kind of mentally wilt, which he hasn't done in a long time, and he's been in really some really bad spots, I don't think it's safe to play that game with him for too long. Like, Islam is not a jiu-jitsu wizard. They're grappling in positional nightmares.
And I disagree.
I just don't think he's – I don't think it's safe. I'm not saying he's not possible. I just don't think it's safe. I think that Charles Oliveira is going to be hard to hold down. I think he's going to be harder to hold down than they expect he is, because he doesn't give a shit about the jiu-jitsu game because he's so good. So he's willing to get himself into weird scrambles and get back to his feet. Islam is going to have to fight him in the clinch because that's kind of his game. It's a lot of clinch takedowns, just like Khabib. Khabib wasn't the double leg, single leg guy. He was the run you into the fence and then trip up your legs and drag you down. I don't know how long you want to play with that game with Charles Oliveira. He's very, very good and very dangerous in the clinch. And I think he does his best grappling / wrestling in those clinch body lock situations because he can get to your back so fast. So I'm not saying Oliveira is going to go through and he's going to smoke him. I just think that where Oliveira is best is also where Islam is best. So it's not like he's taking advantage of a weakness by grappling and wrestling in the clinch and playing that game on the fence.
No, interesting take. And obviously I don't disagree entirely. I just think, I mean, if you look at Khabib and how good he was, you know, at the end, and that's his bread and butter. That's his style. And I think it means a lot to Islam. Well, number one, that's his style as well. But secondly, to continue fighting that style and to become champion of the world by having that Dagestani wrestling dominance, you know, and he wants to continue. And of course, there's a lot of lineage through his father, Abdulmanap. You know what I mean? They want to continue that kind of style. And obviously, that's the way Islam fights as well. And that's the way he's won most of his fights, if I'm not mistaken. And on the feet, I think Charles is probably the better guy. So I think it's Islam's best bet. Now, you're right. You're absolutely right. Charles, come on. He's so dangerous. The most submissions in UFC history. 16. A phenomenal record. You know, but I think Islam's going to be so confident because they are. You know what I mean?
Remember the Moicano fight? Was it Moicano? Islam fought, I think it was Moicano. But they got into some pretty crazy grappling exchanges. And I think Moicano got his back one time. He was able to get a takedown. Like, he held his own. And I hold Charles Oliveira at much higher regard on the ground than Moicano. And that guy's a world champion.
And rightly so. Without question. I think going into Abu Dhabi, though, he's going to have the fans on his side. He's going to come in. Listen, Khabib and Islam has that same aura about him, to be fair. They are supremely confident. But it's not arrogance. It's not arrogance. It's confidence because they've put the work in. It's confidence because they know their ability. You know what I mean? And it can, you know, it can skim close to that edge of being arrogant because they just truly believe in themselves so much. But it's not. It's supreme confidence. And I think given that, he's going to go out there and look, brother, I come to show. Dagestani, smash it. Everybody. They've got to move away. The Chechens, the Dagestanis, they've got to say smash everyone. Or Hamzat has to get a new line. Because to be fair, that is the Dagestani's line. But no, I think he's going to come in. I think he's going to smash him on the ground initially. Because you're right. That's what Charles just lets people take him down. Because he's like, well, take me down. Come on, motherfucker. Take me down and see what happens. So I think Islam's going to get an easy takedown. Then maybe being for a bit of a rude awakening. And then we're going to be treated or in store for some high-level grappling. That's going to be fun to watch.
It's either going to be high-level, like crazy exchanges, which I think favors Oliveira because that gives him an opportunity to get back to his feet. And he's kind of an opportunistic grappler who's grabbing shit in transitions. If Islam's going to win, though, I truly believe he's going to have to slow him down. He's going to have to get a takedown. He's going to have to slowly, methodically work on passing his guard. He's going to have to keep him flat on his back. It's going to have to be boring because if he starts getting too herky-jerky and gives him too much space, Oliveira's going to recover his guard. He's going to start throwing up submissions on the submission defense. He's the type of guy that's going to turtle to his knees and come up to his feet, fight the grip, get his back to the fence, and you know, then we start all over again. Yeah, I can't fucking wait to watch it. That's because I'm so curious. Like, Oliveira's like, "Well, I'll just pull guard. If they, like, if you think you're so good on top, I'll pull guard." I'm like, "God damn!
Good luck with that.
Insane.
Good
luck with that. Yeah, that's insane.
You know what I mean? Yeah, no, it is exciting. That's the next pay per view coming up. I'll tell you what's coming up for me: dinner. I'm starving. Rebecca, she's led over there. You can't see. She's on the bed. She's got a blanket. Are you ready to go?
No, because I need the adapter for my hair straighteners.
Oh, God. She's not even ready to go because she needs the adapter. We're operating multiple appliances with one plug adapter. So we're going to do questions. We're going to get out of it. We're going to a restaurant. What's it called? The Nine Queens. It's Spanish. Can I have something like that? Which means nine queens or something like that, right? I believe so. Yeah, but you got to get ready, babe. The reservation's soon.
Oh, man.
We're going to miss reservations, guys. Get the questions going. If you want to send the question into me or Anthony, send them into bympod@gmail.com. I'm starving. She's starving. Pet's heads are falling off. And Harrington has some plugs for you. Pet's
falling off.
If you're enjoying this on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you find podcasts, make sure to subscribe to the show. Leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. We really appreciate it. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the channel. You hit that notification bell and leave a like if you're watching the live premiere. It really helps us out. Finally, if you want to catch over 300 episodes you can't find anywhere else, ad-free and uncensored, head to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself a 7-day free trial. Check out over 20 great shows on the network.
There it is. Done like a pro, eh? Each and every single time.
Every single time. Hey, there, you remember that? You remember
it's
that
the best
nice
thing
lady?
That Harrington does? But go on.
You remember that nice lady in Paris with the real cool pink hair?
With the pink hair, she said she was a major believer.
Yeah, and she never sent in a question, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little bit upset about it. So no. If she's listening,
you know, this lady with the pink hair has left quite the impression on you, Anthony. You brought her up. I'm not trying to get you in trouble with Michaela, but this lady with the pink hair, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Michaela's right over here, and I'm angry about it. She's angry about it.
Fucking.
Well, she told me she was going to do something, and she didn't do it, and I don't like it.
I don't like it either. She does send it in, we're not going to read it out now. Simple as that. Test us out, pink hair lady. Send it in, see what you got. Brian, what do we have though?
All right. So firstly,
a question from a girl with pink hair.
I don't know. Harrington's texting me something weird. So first of all, somebody sent in an email that with the title, "Why is Brian getting so fat?" And they are imploring you guys to have some sort of intervention on my behalf.
Well, hold on. Let's be honest, Brian. Email. Hold on 1 second. Let's be honest. Have you put a few pounds on?
I sure have.
Oh, God. You still look handsome as ever.
You're supposed to say the voice of God.
Yeah, but I've just been...
Hair like Jesus.
Fucking lazy and whatever, man. I get it. I got to start running again.
I've been in multiple cathedrals today in Barcelona. They have lots of statues of Jesus, and he does have hair like Brian. Jesus was ripped. I'm telling you, he is in these statues. Jesus was ripped. That man followed a very ketogenic diet. I tell you,
it's hard to get fat when there's no food around. And speaking of food, our friend Christian James here has a challenge for us that we should make happen next week.
All right, Christian.
What's up, BYM podcast, the Beach and Meat podcast? How you guys doing, Harrington? Before I forget, fuck yourself 3 times, Mr. Reinhardt. I hope your legs are okay. Mr. Bisping, what the hell's the movie about? And Mr. Brian, what's in the glove? Now, I have a question for the challenge. So earlier today on my YouTube channel, way bigger than yours, not really, I did the Pacquiao one chip challenge. So I'm simply going to ask the four of you to do the challenge. Get your chips, do them at the end of the podcast. If you do them at the fucking beginning of the podcast can be like 5 minutes and Harrington's going to shit himself on air. We got to say, bitches.
No.
Well, it's not really making it any better.
He's doing the hot ones, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, don't be a pussy.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at all that milk.
Talking all that shit.
Ice cream bar?
Yeah, ice cream bar.
Oh,
he's dying.
Oh.
I'll do it. I'm in.
In fact, let's do it. I think I have those chips at my house because we were going to kind of do a Bisping hot ones on my YouTube channel, but we just never got around to it. One of those things, kind of like the many trips that we've discussed. But we should do that. And we thank you, sir, for that idea.
Where are you going to be next week?
I'm still going to be here.
So we'll have to wait a few weeks. Or are you going to be in?
I'm going to be home. Home is not Bulgaria.
I know. I'm saying, you said here. Are you still going to be in wherever the hell you are now?
No, no. I leave here. I go to Birmingham for the Arnold Sports Classic.
Doing some signings and making all the money in the world. And
doing Q&A, you know, answering people, giving mentorship. No,
nobody's asking me to do that shit.
Oh, well, you'll get those. I'll be stupid, you liar. And then I fly back to Sofia. But then end of October, I get back. So at the end of October, we'll do that because I'm not sure if Amazon's going to send me those hot chips out to Sofia. So we'll do that. What were the questions? He said, what's the film? Red Sonja, 80s remake of a classic, Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. What was yours? How's my leg?
How's my leg? Yeah, it's still attached. We're working on it.
Doesn't sound good.
It's not bad. The leg is good. Leg is good. I'm probably, I don't know, probably a week from completely weight bearing and starting PT. So we're almost there.
Brian, what's in the glove?
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, ominous. New York PD, get round to Brian McKay's house. Search that glove ASAP. What else we got, Brian?
All right, we got a question here from Mr. Thomas Foot.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Anthony. My name's Tommy, and I heard a term on the show, and I had a question about it, and it was referring to a fighter, and someone said, this guy's a true heavyweight. And my question is, what is a true heavyweight? And I see guys come into the octagon, I see how they're stacked up, and some of them are my height, 5'8" tall, and they're over the heavyweight limit. And to me, that person is not a true heavyweight. And I know some guys have carried some extra weight around, some extra fat, and have seen some success. Roy Nelson was a pretty popular fighter. Mark Hunt and some other guys, you know, but Fedor carried some extra weight. But in your opinion, what makes a true heavyweight? Thank you, guys.
Yeah, fair question, to be fair, because that term does get thrown around a lot. And you do see guys that are heavyweights that aren't the biggest, but they have tremendous careers. I mean, one of the best heavyweights we've seen. Well, Fedor was a great example, to be fair. He could have made light heavyweight his entire career, but he was doing fantastic. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Cain Velasquez, you know what I mean? One of the best heavyweights we ever saw. Not the biggest guy. I don't know what he used to weigh in at. He certainly wasn't light. That's a damn fact. But he was natural. You know, he wasn't carrying tons of blubber. You know, like, for example, Chris Barnett, great guy. Came in heavy, missed the heavyweight limit. You know what I mean? He would probably improve his athletic performance if he just trimmed a little bit off. But a true heavyweight, we just mean someone that fits that weight class. They've got the bone density. They've got the size. They've got the strength, you know, and not someone that is heavy because they're really out of shape. Do you know what I mean? Do you kind of agree with that notion?
Andy? Yeah, I think in my mind, at least, and I think everyone probably can have different definitions. If you can get someone down to a single digit body fat percentage, and they're still 250 pounds or 265, like Francis Ngannou, you couldn't, like, he has a really low body fat percentage, but he's still 260 pounds and he's jacked. And like you, Ciryl Gane is the same way. Guy like Brock Lesnar, guy like those type of guys where even when they're in shape, Czech Congo's a great example. Even Frank Mir, like that type of a body style, like even in shape, really trim, low body fat, those guys Stipe are still too. Well, no, see, I think Stipe can make 205.
Yeah, he's a great, he's not a true heavyweight though.
Well, not right now, because last time I seen him,
he's the good Holt.
He is fucking ripped right now, like Jack 250, like solid as fuck. Like he's not been being super.
If he's 250, ripped, jacked, solid as fuck, he ain't making 205 anytime soon unless he chops a leg off.
When he fought DC the first time, he was like mid camp, he was like 228, 230. Yeah. So like he's been, back then he could have, but now that he's, you know, in a solid lifting routine and like he's not making a lot of noise, but he's silently working. I probably shouldn't be telling this. I tell people all the time, like I hugged him. I couldn't believe he was like a stone statue. He is out of his mind jacked right now, but like that type of guy, like low body fat, in shape as shit, but still 250, 260. You know, I think I've heard Francis Ngannou is like 285 when he's outside of training camp.
Did you see him in Paris?
Yeah, he was huge.
He's put a few pounds on. I mean, listen, the guy's recovering from leg surgery and stuff.
It's hard to be in shape with one leg.
You know, I mean, look at State to You, for crying out loud. You've let yourself go in a big way.
You'll get it back.
Ngannou's looking gigantic, but I'm not the type of guy to go up to say Ngannou, I'm like, looking a bit fat, Francis.
Yeah, just pat his butt and say, hey, easy there, man. You need to stay off the cakes.
Put the croissants down. Jesus Christ, Francis. To your point, though, against your point, you don't have to be massive to be a true heavyweight. I think if you're comfortable and athletic and you're 240, something like that, like I'm not sure what Cain Velasquez used to weigh in at, but I'm sure it wasn't anywhere. 240 to 250 range would be my guess. And he carried that weight well, and he was known as Cardio Cain. You know what I mean? There is, in my opinion, a true heavyweight. These guys that come in and they're heavy and they're carrying too much blubber around the midsection, yes, they can do well. It's like Fedor kind of goes against what I'm saying because he was that guy. So anyway.
But he wouldn't be that competitive now. Not at that size with the caliber of guys and the size of them now. You know, like a guy like Ciryl Gane, like that big and also equally as athletic and fast. Mm. I think Fedor, just his body, just take the skill differences and the time, lay the eras away. I think just he's not big enough.
Yeah. I agree. Right. I got to go though. I do apologize. I got dinner reservations in 8 minutes. I've got to get a cab. Rebecca's got to do her hair. She's got to get dressed.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to get divorced if I don't do this. We're on holiday and I'm still banging out the podcast. So before you all start, and I know I'm cutting it a little bit short and I apologize, but I do have an obligation to my wife, the long suffering 23 years, Mrs. Rebecca Bisping. So we got to go, guys. We got to go.
All right.
Thursday. All right. Thursday, we're back, bitches. Don't you worry about that. They're going to go, no, you're not. You've said that for the last few weeks and haven't done one. I've been working nights. It's not easy. It's hard. I'm sorry, Anthony. You're the man. Harrington, Brian, take care. More importantly, the believers. Anthony, a message for the believers?
Yeah, we will. We'll see you guys next week. Well, I'll see you guys next week. See you guys later.